those not yet at that point in their lives, it would be something to look forward to as they come to age 65.
Skagway considers higher exemptions for senior citizen property taxes. And Search responds to customer billing problems in Haines. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories and more just ahead. Skagway citizens could vote next spring to increase the property tax exemption for their senior citizens, a change that hasn't been made since the early 1980s. Skagway manager Tom Smith explains that the senior tax exemption hasn't changed since 1984, when a $150,000 cap was put into law.
We have checked with the state, and we understand that if there's a move to change it, would need to go for a referendum. And I doubt there's much argument that since the mid-80s that there, you know, has probably been some changes in property values and, of course, tax bills.
The people would vote whether or not to increase the cap by $100,000 to $250,000 total. But first, the Assembly would have to vote to adopt the ordinance at their next meeting.
Our finance did some tax impact worksheet on that, and we're projecting that the tax impact would be about $22,000 per annum in 2010 dollars.
Seniors attending Thursday night's assembly meeting said this type of exemption is helpful for seniors who are often on a fixed income.
For those who would turn age 65 by December 31st of a given year, they would then qualify for the senior tax exemption. And for those not yet at that point in their lives, it would be something to look forward to as they come to age 65.
The tax exemption would only apply to owned residential properties, not rented property, and does not apply to commercial property. 56 of Skagway's residential properties are owned by senior citizens. Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium, or SEARCH, continues to make repairs to its billing system after many of their customers received bills and collections letters by mistake. Marcia Scott, clinic administrator for the Haines Search Center, says she still receives about a dozen customer complaints related to the billing problem every day, but the clinic is working to resolve it.
Well, what happened with billing, a large percentage of our patients received some statements that were past due notices and also from a company called Transworld, which said this is a collection agency. And what happened was Search contracted with this billing services to send out some past due notices on accounts that I think were from 2008 and up to mid-2009. And then patients, they complained that, you know, they hadn't received any previous statements, and this was kind of the first they heard of their, you know, they hadn't received an itemized statement prior to that.
The last round of blundered bills went out from the billing agency Green Flag or their affiliate Transworld just before Christmas. Since then, Search has terminated their relationship with Green Flag and are examining their accounts themselves.
So after kind of fielding a lot of these complaints, first they put a stop to the Green Flag and the Transworld statements going out. That what they're doing, they're reviewing the accounts. They're going to look at all of their billing processes to make sure that the statements are complete. They've gone through the billing process and they're clean. And right now they're calling individual patients to work with them through their accounts. And locally we're looking at our processes to make sure that we're entering our information correctly, and I think for the most part we do a good job at that.
Charles Bingham with the Search's head office in Sitka says the confusion is centered in Haines because of the concentration of non-native patients who receive medical bills, unlike other Search facilities. Again, Marcia Scott in Haines.
You know, Search has clinics all over Southeast Alaska, and the majority of their patients are native patients, and generally their services we bill for, you know, Medicare or their insurance, but they don't have to pay the balance. That is a native health right. But Haines has mostly the majority of our patients are non-native, so they do pay the balance after their insurance. So most of our patients get bills, and so that's why the biggest impact is here in Haines.
The problem was first noticeable in December 2009 when customers began reporting that they were receiving bills for accounts that were old or already paid or getting letters from collections agencies about recent bills.
We noticed an increase in billing complaints. We had quite a few calls and patients coming in, and we actually started tracking the billing complaints kind of as a quality assurance study to see, kind of identify trends, and we were just getting more and more of them, and they were all very similar, and it seemed to snowball. So yeah, we just worked with the billing office and tried to find out what was going on, and they've looked into it, and we're trying to remedy the situation.
Scott says there shouldn't be any effect on patients' credit ratings as a result of the illegitimate bills and notices.
I really want to apologize to our patients. I know it's caused a lot of anxiety and anger. You know, they're worried about their financial status, their collection status, and, you know, search put a stop to that. They sent out a letter, and they were really, I think, we're doing everything that we can to ensure our patients that nobody is actually in bad debt collections, and we're really going to clean up these accounts and make sure they're accurate before we proceed with any more of this using a billing service.
Joan Carr, the revenue cycle director at Search's headquarters, is hoping to visit Haines later this month to meet with concerned patients. If patients have more questions about their bills, contact Marcia Scott at the Search Clinic in Haines or the Patient Accounts Division at the Sitka Search Office. The Haines Fire Department is bringing back a program that makes safety in the home even more affordable.
The fire department has looked at ways of trying to promote safety in the community, and one of the ways we're doing that, and done it for the past couple of years, is offering a coupon system for purchasing carbon monoxide detectors.
Training Officer Al Badgley says giving out free vouchers to people who don't have carbon monoxide detectors is an effort to raise awareness that carbon monoxide is a potentially serious problem, even in small rural communities.
About 2 years ago, the state decided that carbon monoxide detectors were pretty much mandatory in people's homes. And the reason to have that is the fact that carbon monoxide is a odorless, colorless, tasteless gas that can basically kill you.
We're exposed to carbon monoxide regularly, but rarely in levels that are harmful, says Badgley. Carbon monoxide is a byproduct of a carbon-based combustion. That kind of poisoning is the most common type of fatal air poisoning in many countries. On average, 170 people in the United States die each year from CO poisoning, from non-automotive consumer products like malfunctioning furnaces, ranges, water heaters, room heaters, and engine-powered equipment like portable generators, fireplaces, and charcoal burned indoors.
If you have a furnace, which most people have some kind of a heat source in there, if you have a car, that's another way that they come in, and especially if you have an attached garage where you might start your car in the garage itself, and a lot of people would. If you open the door going into your house while the car is running, you have a good source of getting carbon monoxide in your home.
But Badgley names other ways that people could be exposed to the poison.
If you strictly had an all-electric house and no, you know, if you were a walk, you probably wouldn't need it. But it's just something that even if you don't have a car, if someone comes up to your house and parks by your window or something, you have the window open, even in the summertime, that's a potential source of getting carbon monoxide in your home.
There are even laws that restrict designing parking areas nearby commercial building openings, unless there are carbon monoxide detectors inside. Badgley says he'd like to see at least one carbon monoxide detector in every home, and this voucher program has been successful in adding dozens of detectors to Haines homes in the past 2 years.
You come by the fire department and there's a coupon that's worth $25 off a carbon monoxide detector. If you go to the three local vendors in Haines, they have a certain amount in stock, and the price varies anywhere from about $25 to about $75.
Badgley says the difference in carbon monoxide detectors is their ability to report if the amount of gas detected is a life-threatening amount or not. And for folks who already have carbon monoxide detectors, Badgley suggests placing them in a hallway near bedrooms and check the batteries monthly.
And make sure that that battery is in place for a backup due to the fact that a power outage and people starting up backup generators is a prime source of carbon monoxide. The generic model is pretty much like a smoke detector that if it detects a certain amount of carbon monoxide, an alarm goes off. But that generic model only lets you know that it detected potentially carbon monoxide and you don't know is a level high, is a level low, or is a level even something at all. The detector that's probably a little more expensive, but it also gives you an idea of what's going on, is a digital carbon monoxide detector. So when the alarm goes off, you can look at the alarm and it gives you a reading on the alarm, and it'll go anywhere from 30 to 100 or even higher than 100. And if you have a reading that is extremely high, that is saying that you have to immediately evacuate the house because something is really catastrophically wrong and you could have a problem.
Both Haines and Skagway fire departments have portable gas meters they can use to measure dangerous gas levels in area homes. If residents detect leaks, the fire department can respond with that tool. Colin Aikman, acting deputy chief at the Skagway Fire Department, says the crew is available for questions about carbon monoxide and its detectors. Although they don't have CO detector vouchers, they do have free smoke detectors.
The Skagway Fire Department does have a box of smoke detectors. I would say currently there's probably 25 or so back there that we have with an intention to distribute them to the public as needed. If they come by the fire department and they have an actual need for a smoke detector that they don't have one, we are more than happy to give that out to them. We can come out into their homes if they request it and install them for them if for some reason they're unable to. And every 2 years here in Skagway we have a health fair, and at that health fair in the past we've had the smoke detectors there to give out to people. We've also had fire extinguishers as door prizes that people were awarded in a little raffle there. So we're all about keeping the public safe and trying to prevent fires from occurring. And if they do occur, then definitely we want people to be able to get out of their home. And smoke detectors is a big way to have that happen.
The Haines carbon monoxide detector vouchers are in limited supply and are for people who don't already have them in their homes. The vouchers are available at the Haines Fire Department. Reporting for KHNS, I'm Tara Bicknell.